Whom to listen to? That's a sheep's greatest challenge. It's not easy being a sheep, you know, especially when you have the world clamoring for your attention. Because on top of being rather dim, sheep had the unfortunate displeasure of being a form of currency in the ancient world. Which makes sense. There weren't banks or investments in the same way in those days, and so you had an option of either hiding your money in your house or in the ground, or instead buying a wool-producing, milk-dispensing, meat-containing, living, breathing animal. And the only input you needed for a very positive output was a little bit of grass and a whole lot of patience. There was one severe downside with a sheep-centered portfolio, however. This form of currency had a habit of wandering away, or worse, being stolen. Because while it is true that you can't coax a coin, you can coax a sheep. So thieves and robbers in ancient days would fill their bank accounts by preying on unsuspecting flocks, using a rather ingenious strategy. They'd learn to mimic the shepherd's voice. After all, running off with a sheep doesn't make much sense. Too heavy, too cumbersome, and too noisy. But convince a sheep that you are the shepherd? Then it would take very little effort to lead the sheep here and there and anywhere away from the care of their real shepherd. And so what could be done? What could be done to make sure that the sheep stayed safe inside and the thieves and robbers stayed far away outside? Well, it was a pair of solutions: a strong gate and a vigilant shepherd. But why all this talk of sheep husbandry? Why now, and why then? Why in this clash of two rabbinic titans that we see in our gospel reading today between Jesus and the Pharisees, does Jesus choose the grazing fields as the battleground and the pasture pen as the battle line? Well, the reason is because he's alluding back to a prophet named Ezekiel, who lived around 500 years or so before Jesus was born. And in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel's book, the Lord has some words, some very strong words, for the religious leaders of Ezekiel's day. The Lord charges them with neglecting his sheep as poor shepherds, to the point where all of his sheep are scattered on the hills of Israel, being picked apart one by one. And so what does God say? Instead of these poor excuses for shepherds, the Lord himself would shepherd Israel. He would lead them out to pleasant pastures. He'd make sure that they were safe and protected forever. And so as this Jesus takes the stage, he repeats the rebuke to the leaders of his day, the same rebuke he made to the leaders in Ezekiel's day, that the people under their care had become less than God's charges, souls that needed nourishing and protecting. No, instead, they had become numbers, objects, and means to self-gratification. In other words, they had become currency. Your currency to them, too. Did you know that? I hope you don't miss the timelessness of Jesus' words here about sheep and shepherds, about thieves and robbers. Because even though the past few generations of humanity have boasted about their technological developments and their scientific progress and their moral superiority, nothing really has changed. The battleground is still the grazing fields, and the battle line is still the pasture pen. It's still a story of shepherds and sheep, of thieves and robbers. The sheep are still wandering, and the thieves are still calling. And you, dear sheep, are not immune. You've got a lot of voices in your head. I do too. Voices calling for your attention. Because that's just the nature of advertising, isn't it? Look at me. Watch me. Pay attention to me. Buy me. Attend me. It's enough to make someone dizzy. And yet the great irony of it is that we've been dizzy for so long that most of us have gotten used to it. Those voices that might have caused us pause at the start are just part of the landscape now. Maybe something has your attention because, man, they sure sound like the Good Shepherd. But remember the trick of the thieves and the robbers? They don't come to you as an enemy. They come to you as an ally. They don't mimic the sound of a predator. They mimic the sound of the Good Shepherd. And so if I were to ask you this morning, what voices fill your ears and your heads and your hearts, I'm sure your response at worst would probably be neutral and at best would be positive. Because I know you. I know your ability to discern these things, discerning meaning that you can tell between what is good and what is wrong, what is productive and what is harmful. And I'm sure the company you keep and the media you consume, all of it, is up to that standard. This ability to discern, it's essential for a sheep. Because if the thieves and the robbers convince you that the lines aren't where they actually are, if your shepherd isn't the only shepherd worth listening to, what damage they can do. Remember what Jesus says. The thieves come to steal and kill and destroy. These are not abstract words. They happen every day. You've seen it. I have too. I've seen how words spoken by outsiders can so fill Christian ears that even words spoken by virtual screens can somehow draw the intention and the care and the love of well-meaning Christians away from the place they've been placed, away from their family and their church family and their community, and have it pulled across the world to people that will never see them and never know them. I have seen how voices have reached Christian minds, voices spoken from political podiums and from politicians, convincing you that their words are worth listening to, that theirs is the only opinion that's worth caring about. And so I've watched Christians sacrifice the love, the Christ-like love that's meant for each other, and instead prioritize those who share the political aisle versus those who share the pew at church. And I've seen how outside voices have even reached Christian hearts. And these voices don't come from apparently dangerous places. Some of them are even well-meaning Christians, and yet they're slightly off base, or maybe severely off base from what God's word says. And the more we listen to it, the more we're convinced, you know, those lines, they're not so distinct. The differences are not so vast. Why can't we all just be together? And in this way, that gift, that God-given gift of unity and fellowship, it's destroyed. I could keep going. So many voices calling for your attention, for your likes, for your votes, for your support, your donations. So many voices trying to convince you that a real, meaningful life is away from the family in which you've been placed, away from the congregation to which you belong, away from the community in which you live. No, it's where they're pointing you, where they want you to be, which inevitably leads you away, away from the love and the care of the Good Shepherd. But I don't know how to break it to you, but they don't love you. The influencers, the newscasters, the podcast hosts, the politicians, they don't know you. They don't love you. They don't care about you, your story, your sorrows, and your struggles. They don't even know your name. And yet, how much we're willing to invest in these people and dedicate to these people at the expense of those who are immediately around us, those who have been entrusted to us. To them, you are currency, but not to your Good Shepherd. Out of all the voices that call to you, his is the one worth listening to. Because out of all the voices, he's the one who loves you. He's the one who knows you. His is the voice that calls you by name, not to an empty way of life that is full somewhere far away, but a meaningful, full way of life right here for you. As he has said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so what does a meaningful, full life look like for a sheep? Well, first, it starts off with identifying the shepherd's voice. Because if you start following a different shepherd, you can be sure that life is going to be full of promises, but meaning is not going to be one of the outcomes. No, being familiar with his voice is the start and is essential for that meaningful, full life. Because those robbers will not hesitate to drag you away. Not only from the shepherd who truly loves you, but especially from the place where he has put you, the sheep pen in which you've been placed. And if you want to know what that sheep pen looks like, look around. Look around, you'll see family. You'll see members of faith. You'll see your local community. The scheme of the thieves and robbers is to not only deafen you to the words of the Good Shepherd, but to separate you and cause divisions among you and convince you that their movements, their ideas, their associations, they're more worthwhile than the connection that you might experience through the Word with your God and with each other. But the subtle lie of those movements and associations is just the same as the influencers. They don't love you. They don't know you. It's your Good Shepherd who has lived and suffered and died for you because you are more than just currency. You are people. Dearly loved people. God's chosen, redeemed, forgiven people. What a blessing it is to be part of a community like that. What a blessing it is, an opportunity it is for us to be part of a sheep pen where we not only receive the unconditional, gracious love of our Father in heaven, but that we have the opportunity to reflect that same good shepherd-like love to each other, to know each other's names, to care more about the opinions and stories and feelings and perspectives of each other than the opinions and stories and feelings and perspectives of the thieves and robbers who want nothing more than to steal and to kill and destroy. Your family by blood, your family by faith, and your local community, this is where your Jesus has placed you. And so be present. Be invested where he has placed you, not where the thieves tell you to be. Love where you are, not where the robbers direct you. Know the voice of your Good Shepherd, for it is here that he has led you, and it is from here that he will continue to lead you. For these are the people out of time and eternity and location, that he has chosen to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death to the pastures of paradise. This encouragement is for the veteran sheep, yeah. But on this Good Shepherd Sunday and also Confirmation Sunday, the veteran sheep, or the new sheep, or all sheep in between, have the opportunity to not only live that out in their lives, but to encourage the new sheep who are going to be joining us today. We have 7 youth confirmands and 3 adult confirmands who are joining us. What an incredible thing it could be if the sheep of this sheep pen could show them not only the love that they've been shown by their Savior Jesus, but to point their eyes again and again to the Good Shepherd who continues to go ahead and continues to lead them. So, dear sheep, know your shepherd. Know his voice. Know his life. Know his love. Know him and the ones he's entrusted to you. Dear flock, listen to your shepherd. Follow him together. Flee from strangers together. Reflect his love together. And when you do, when you live as those sheep and follow the Good Shepherd, you'll appreciate more and more every day why it is that he is called the Good Shepherd. For he has come and will come again to give you life, life to the full. Amen.